the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
By Cloverpress Media Group and CMG Podcast. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. How are you guys doing today?
Chilling, you?
Doing good, baby. Doing good.
Listen, man, I'm loving all this NBA playoff basketball. I can't get enough of it. And when it's gone, frankly, I'm going to really miss it a lot. But I'm not going to waste no time. We're going to get right to it, Sandra, because yesterday I had a tough time watching your Miami Heat. Man, I was there watching it, and I figured maybe in Miami it'll be more of a fight. But God damn, they stunk it up, you know. And Giannis didn't even really have an impressive lineup, really. I believe he scored 17 points, 17 rebounds. And I'm telling you, man, it looks like this Bucks team really took that loss against your Heat last year personally. And they're making sure that they win this series this time because, hey, you know, Milwaukee has championship aspirations, having a two-time MVP on their side. They know that right now it is championship or bust, and the only way that people are going to give the Bucks respect, standard, and pride is if they win a championship. We know they've been regular season good. We know that they got the accolades, but it's all about the championship now, Sander. And it's looking like they're going to face off with the Nets. You know, if the Nets beat prize beloved Celtics tonight and go up 3-0, it's looking like that's the matchup that's going to happen. So what do you think? Do you think that the on a scale from 1 to 10, Sander, how confident should the Bucks be against the Nets?
Well, I'm not even going to give you a rating to how confident they should be. I'm just going to tell you they should be confident, but not too confident. However you want to rate that, you could take it however you want. But they should be confident.
Was that like a 5 then?
I guess out of 5. Be confident and be happy is what I'm saying, because the Brooklyn Nets are not the Miami Heat. The Brooklyn Nets are a completely different monster. I'm going to tell you right now, Miami's getting swept. Miami's been at this entire playoffs. I don't know what it was. They weren't hungry like they were last year. Maybe last year was just an aberration, like a bunch of people say. I don't know. But just this year is not the same Miami team that we saw last season. And again, I could say the same for the Milwaukee Bucks. They are an entirely different team than they were last year. They took the loss. They retooled. They end up. They handled their business, and right now they're showing you exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to run through the East, get to Brooklyn, and maybe beat them. But right now, Milwaukee, I'm okay, bro. You beat up on a 6 seed. You beat up on a team that is just not there anymore. Like Miami Heat. What did he say? It's like Miami easy to beat. That's fine, my man. You Jazz have been easy to beat since for like 25 plus years, so it's okay, bro.
They gotta win the series, so you can't talk. They gotta win the series, so you can't chat. You can't chat right now. They gotta win in their series.
Are you talking Celtics again? Or
you're right.
Oh, okay. All right. So let me finish. Anyways, let me finish. So Miami's just flat, guys. That's right. And the Celtics are gonna get finished too. I don't even know.
What difference is, I understood it. You lose,
I don't understand why 36 and 36 team is in the playoffs. Anyways, but all right. Anyways, so it's simple, guys. Milwaukee up on Miami this series because they wanted to avenge the loss from last year. But guess what? When they face the Brooklyn Nets next series, don't keep this energy because you're going to need it. And I guarantee you, it's not going to be the same. We're not going to see this Milwaukee team beating up on the Brooklyn Nets the way they're beating up on Miami, because Miami doesn't have an answer for Giannis. They don't have an answer for Chris Middleton, who, by the way, is playing out of his mind right now, giving Milwaukee over 2 points a game. Jrue Holiday is every bit of a lockdown defender as he's been advertised. And that's a big difference that Milwaukee has in their arsenal now, that they could throw Holiday on a guard and really shut them down. So I'm impressed, like a 5 out of 10 with Milwaukee. Let's see if they could do the same with the Brooklyn Nets. I don't see it happening because Brooklyn has a three-headed monster that I don't think will be beat in 4 games. So good job, Milwaukee. You got past the next round. Let's see what you could do.
I gotta it's my turn?
It is your turn, yeah.
Kind of funny how all of a sudden he wants to poo that they about to get swept, right? It's kind of funny how all of a sudden, oh, yeah, this doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, if Miami had won one game, we're going to have to see a whole
different complexion. You said seeds 3-8 don't matter, so I don't care.
Oh, you say that now because you got your scrub.
You said
you say you don't care
because you don't matter, right?
You were delusional and you thought you was going to be lit.
Yeah.
And anyway, so JJ, to answer your question, how confident am I? I'm going to say a 6. But that's a very tentative 6 because it depends. Can Chris Middleton, Andrew Holiday continue their play into the series with the Nets? That's kind of like the whole thing that's kind of – because we've seen this story with Chris Middleton where he'll come up and he'll be lit, and then all of a sudden he'll go 4 or 5 games straight where the guy turns into the second coming of Kyle Kuzma. Now, I believe this is the year where – because if you think about it, there's not that much pressure on him to score like that because you have Drew Holiday. Because Drew Holiday kind of reminds me a little bit of Klay Thompson, where you can guard the best player, and you know, okay, the guy will get me 15 efficient. You know what I mean? So I do like that. And so to me, I'm gonna give them a 6. Again, it's tentative because can they continue this play? It's a possibility. One thing I did like is that Giannis, like you said, game 3 he only has 17 points. But everybody and their mom contributed into that win. Now, can they like bring that into the next
season? Right, not to cut you off, but I do want to say this for anybody that's watching. There was an update that DiVincenzo is going to miss the rest of the playoffs due to an injury, and you know that's definitely a big loss for them. But I think they still have enough guns in their pockets to fight. So go ahead, Pride.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and it's gonna be tough for them. But I do believe they do have some of the personnel because, again, it's a three-headed monster. Ironically, the Bucks have a three-headed defensive monster in Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. So, to me, it's like, you know, yeah, they're monsters, but then the Bucks also do have some defense, you know what I mean? So, it's going to be very interesting to see, like I said, bro, we know Giannis is going to go out and he's gonna average at least 25 because they're not going to be able to stop him. Question is, because Brooklyn's plan going in is going to be like, hey, let Giannis average 40. We need to make sure that Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday do not contribute. That's who they're going to want to attack. That's going to be the smart thing to do. Because if you can't stop Giannis, why exert your energy trying to stop him? Let the guy average 40 for the series and go home with a loss. So, you know what I mean? So, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, we know defensively they'll be there, but offensively, can they still give you so? Because Chris Middleton is giving you not only is he giving you production, he's giving you efficient production. It's not like the guy is going out there giving you 20 points on 17 shots. He's been very, very efficient. As long as they can carry that into the series, I think they'll have a legitimate chance. But again, it all is going to come down to Chris Middleton because I believe Drew Holiday is going to show up. I believe he is because I can't. Because
he got like a different look in his eye, right? Like he has got it going on right now.
Even when he was an AC, the dude wasn't going out there and laying an egg. He's been like, all right, look, I'm defensive. I'll give you guys 15 and I'll try my best to hold the other guys defensively. So, you know, it's going to come down to those two guys, more specifically Chris Middleton, because everyone's been saying you cannot win with Chris Middleton as your second star. And now, is he the second star? No, but I'm looking at it as more like you know how we usually say 1A and 1B? Him and Drew Holiday are 2A.
2A and 2B.
It's not like you got to always depend on Chris Middleton. Yeah, because the problem before was if Chris Middleton didn't give you nothing, nobody could. Now, it's okay, if Chris Middleton can't get you something, Drew Holiday can step in and fill that void. So that way it's not like, okay, now we're completely out of luck, you know? So it's going to be interesting. As long as Chris Middleton and both him and Middleton continue this play, I think they'll have a solid chance, JJ.
Yeah, you know, great points, both of you guys. You know, Milwaukee just – I think if this team played the Miami team 14 games, I just think that this team right now is just constructed better. And that's not a knock to Miami, just not their year. Milwaukee is just a superior team. But, you know, Sander, you gave me a 5. Pride, you gave me a 6. I'm at a 5.5, honestly. Like, I'm right in the middle of both of you guys because you guys make the point. Miami is not Brooklyn. That's as fair as I can say. So you should definitely, you know, I gave them the 0.5 because they avenged the loss from last year. So I think that's a stepping stone in the right direction to beat the guys that beat you last year. Always feels good and should give you confidence going into the next round. Pride, you said that they each have three-headed monsters, both with different specialties. And if you're Milwaukee, the one thing that you're hoping is, you know, maybe I could get one of these guys on an off night, on a night that where my guy gives me what I'm expected to. Like if I need 17 from Jrue Holiday, he's going to give me the 17 on a day that we were able to stop Kyrie or James Harden to just 22 or something like that, instead of a 25, 30 production night that they could give you, you know. So like I said, 5.5, they did what they had to do against Miami, and I hate that I'm talking like it's over, but it essentially is. We're waiting for Milwaukee. It's over. I can say it. It's over, you know, and for Boston too, regardless of, you know, how you guys see it, they just weren't ready to face the teams that they were going to face. These two are just destined to see each other for the supremacy. I think whoever wins this game will probably end up beating Philly if Philly ends up making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So right now they're really both fighting. And when I say both of them, as in Brooklyn and Milwaukee, I feel like this is the match which is going to determine, Sander, who's going to represent the East in the finals.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Whoever wins between Milwaukee, because I between Milwaukee, for sure, they'll be representing. I don't see Philly beating Milwaukee, and I definitely don't see Philly beating the Brooklyn Nets. It's just, I don't see anybody being able to shut down Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie for four games, let alone doing it. It's a task alone doing it once, guys. Doing it for four games, good luck, because you shut one. Let's just say, speaking, Harden has an off night. What you said, 20 points? Guess what? They have a guy in Joe Harris who can give you 20 points just off threes alone. So
yeah,
they literally have a three-headed monster and a little mini Titan in Joe Harris who can just bang out threes any night. Oh, go ahead. Roll your eyes.
That's hilarious.
Roll your
eyes.
I like Joe Harris. A three-point winner, quite frankly,
that is, and I say this, of course, let's be honest. This is going to sound disrespectful, but that is the most moronic, stupid, casual take possible, because you're now going to tell me that Joe Harris, a three-point specialist, who's a good three-point specialist, not going to take that from him, a guy who's never averaged 20 before, all of a sudden is going to be dropping 20 every
game. What are you talking about?
And for every game like that, there'll be a game where he gives you 10.
But, Pride, you don't need him to give that to you every night. You don't need Harris to be your number one scorer.
That's just my thing. The thing is with Brooklyn fans, they try to act like every piece they have is a legitimate piece. And it's like the best piece possible. And to me, it's like, okay, yeah, he's a great shooter. But let's stop acting like the guy's the god when the dude – quick, has he ever averaged over 15 points?
I just said he's a great shooter, and he won a three-point shootout.
You just said he can come out and score 20. What are you talking about?
He did. He scored 20 the other night. Are you blind? Are you blind? Did you not see him score 22 in the first half?
I'll be blind, and he'll be stupid, and at the end of the day, he's relying on Joe Harris, and that's fine.
Joe Harris never done it.
Okay, so what about before? So what about before? What about before?
Joe Harris has always been.
What about before? Oh, no, that doesn't matter, because as long as he do it one game, he's averaging 25 his career.
Yeah. Joe Harris isn't this an all-star, you know, where nobody is saying that by any means, but he's always been an X factor when it comes to the success of this Brooklyn Nets team. If he's going off, then it's really little you could do to stop him. But I've always thought, and I think we all agree on this point, that the Brooklyn Nets' biggest obstacle to defeat, it's themselves. You know, if they get Kyrie's going to step out. Like, who knows? Kyrie might go to Boston today, get cold, the N-word, and probably take a sabbatical because, you know, that's just the way he is. Or maybe James Harden tweaks something, or KD. Like, and I'm not trying to, you know, imply negative thoughts on the Nets, but I'm just saying that realistically, what they represent, they got the three-headed monster like we have addressed. And really, the only way to stop them is if they stop themselves. And, you know, recently in the playoffs against Boston, you know, they've played well. You know, they have seemed to be stopped. So that's why I'm very interested to see how this Milwaukee team and Brooklyn will match up, because it seems like, you know, even though, you know, it seems like Brooklyn is the powerhouse in the East, Milwaukee has been that team for the last few years. And it feels like it's like a Goliath versus Goliath matchup that's going to happen. And I'm very excited to see who's going to win the matchup eventually.
I guess. Yeah. I'm just here so I don't get fined. To quote the great Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I mean, a guy who doesn't even average 12 points a game. Yeah, in a series, yeah, I average 25 easy.
Who said average, bro? What the hell are you talking about? Who said average? I said on a night where Kyrie is off or James Harden and off.
Under 12 points a game.
You're a clown, bro. That's phenomenal. You're a clown, bro. The shit you be saying, bro, is crazy.
Coming from a dude who thinks Joe Harris is a phenomenal guy. Look at him. Oh, look at his playmaking ability.
Great three-point shooter. He's a great three-point shooter. That's a great three-point
shooter. And you like never words in never let him get 3-point percentage. But he's great, though.
You like putting words in people's mouths.
He's great. He's a great three-point shooter. Never let the league at 3-point percentage.
He's the best. He's the greatest. He's the greatest shooter of all time, Pride. He's better than Curry. Yeah. He's better
he's
than
so much of an X factor. He's the greatest. There have been games where he never played because they didn't care about him.
He's
the greatest. All I know is I can never beat him in 3-point contests. That guy's pretty damn good if you leave him open. But nonetheless, I do want to transition to the West side because there's a must-win game in a game 3 for the Clippers tonight when they go to Dallas and have to face against that bad boy, Luka Doncic. You know, I love that guy. And like I said, guys, game 3 feels like a game 7 for these Clippers tonight, and that's not even an exaggeration. They really have to win tonight because, honestly, the way I'm looking at it, if the Clippers lose tonight, they're obviously going to lose the series and – you know, that's just me happy thinking. But, you know, the Clippers ownership is going to have to look at this team like, you know, was Kawhi and the George experiment a flop, Pride? Like, you know, like we invested in these guys and we were supposed to be contending with the Lakers for the championship and get to the Western Conference Finals. And last year we dropped a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets. And this year we're about to get beat in the first round to Luka, which, like I said, ain't no shame in that. That's my boy Luka. But nonetheless, if you're the Clippers, your aspirations were higher than getting bounced in the first round. And I think that we all thought that on paper they were going to be a better team. So, Pride, if they lose tonight, if you're Steve Ballmer, are you thinking about maybe moving some pieces and rebuilding this team?
Well, for starters, like last year when they lost, Kawhi Leonard had a meeting with ownership, right? So what's going to happen is they're probably going to have to do the same thing again, right? Both owners of the Clippers are going to have to show up and they're going to have to speak with Kawhi. Now, people don't understand what I mean by both. Steve Ballmer, he actually owns 10%. The other 90% owner is Luka Doncic. Because every single time they play, this dude owns him. And it's not even a joke. It's to the point where, like, this man is out here. It's a term that in the business world is called sweat equity, right? You don't put money in, but you do work, you show up, you clock in and out, and instead of getting a paycheck, you get ownership, right? Eventually, it's going to come to a point where Steve Ballmer is going to have to sign that note, and Luka Doncic is going to be the only dude in NBA history to play for one team and own another. So, dude, should they blow it up? I'm stuck between this. I really am. Because think about it. If you blow it up, how are you going to get better? How are you going to get better? The only other guys that you can get that would make you better are guys who aren't going to be traded. Nope. You have to go get a Damian Lillard or a LeBron James, maybe even a Chris Paul or a youngster like Julius Randle or Jason Tatum. You need somebody not only young, but hungry. Now, to me, what it looks like is these dudes are just complacent. In their mind, well, it's more specifically, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are complacent. I think Kawhi Leonard is like, Kawhi I got George. My ring. Yeah, but Kawhi Leonard got his rings. He goes, I wanted to live in LA. These guys are letting me live in San Diego, which I wanted to live at. So I don't care. And Paul George, I think Paul George came to the realization, I'm never going to win a ring unless I like go to like a team that's like a prohibitive favorite and in essence pull a KD. That's the only way he's going to win a ring. And I think he's come to terms with that. Because every single thing, the only thing he doesn't like is when people yell at him in that moment. But after that, it seems like he doesn't really care. So to me, it's like, should they blow it up? I mean, I'm going to lean on the side of no. Because when you're in LA, right, would you rather just make the playoffs and then be bounced rather than being what the Clippers used to be? And when I say used to be, I'm not talking about Lob City. I'm talking about before that, when they had
dog water,
bro. Back when they couldn't even get 500.
Maggette days.
They were playing 250 basketball, bro. They had a win percentage of like 2.25 type of stuff. That's what they were doing back then. So my thing is, if you're gonna trade these guys, there's only one thing. If you're gonna trade these guys, you have to in your mind be like, we're done, and pull a Sam Presti, where you're just trading these guys and you're getting picks to make up for the picks that you guys lost to get Paul George and Reggie Jackson and I can't remember which Morris twin is there. I don't know which one it is. I think Markeith, I think it is. To get all these guys, and you not have, look, if I'm going to say, I think it's like 2020 until 2025, 2026.
And let me help you out with a couple more names. Ibaka, Rondo.
Yep.
Rondo one. Kesmore.
The part that baffles me, right, is that this year should have been, according to them, their year. When they lost last year, there were four people that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George held responsible. Four. It was Doc Rivers, because Kawhi Leonard felt like he got a coach. What management do? We got him out of here. Who do you want to replace him? Oh, that dude that was sitting next to him, Ty Lue. All right, we'll make him the head coach. So that's one, right? Then the other three guys that they didn't like was Montrezl Harrell, Lou Will, and Patrick Beverley. Yeah. They let Montrezl walk. Then they then traded Lou Will to get Rondo exactly what Kawhi Leonard wanted. Yeah. Then, not only with the addition of Rondo, guess what that did magically? It cut down Patrick Beverley's minutes. So now all the excuses that they had last year magically are fixed. And it's almost as if they're a worse team. It's almost as if they somehow, some way, got worse. And to me, it's like, me personally, I'm not giving them up. I'm going to sign Kawhi Leonard because me personally, I would rather go. Like, I'd rather keep them and hope and pray that I get lucky one day. One day, eventually, LeBron's got to retire one day. You know what I mean? We're just hoping Genie Buss don't know what to do then, right? I mean, you know, Portland, I mean, Damian Lillard's going to get tired and eventually demand a trade, right? Like, well, we're getting there one day. I mean, maybe Mark Cuban messes up, and sure, they'll have Luka, but maybe Porzingis will leave and freaking – yeah, he said they got rid of a Hall of Fame coach to get – yes, literally, AI made this man's career. No, listen, if I tell you Ty Lue, no one's going to say that he won a ring with the Cavaliers. Everyone's going to be like, he's the dude who literally looked at AI's gristles. Yeah. My dude, if you ever play GTA, the first mission you played is Trevor. Trevor literally curb stomped the dude. That was his first mission. That's what AI did to this man. That's what AI did to this man. That's his legacy. And so to me, it's like, look, this Clippers team is weird. And it's a shame because they have talent. They're one of the deepest teams in the league. They really are. They do have talent. But obviously, when you think the two head guys don't care, what are you supposed to do? So me personally, to answer the question, I would keep them. The only way I'm not going to keep them is if I can get, for both of them, at least two first-round picks each. I need at least two first-round picks, both, like, per each guy. Because then I'll be like, okay, fine, I'm going to lose them, but at least I have a first-round pick in the future that I know I can look forward to and I can depend on instead of waiting until the end of time. Until then, I'm keeping them, and I'm just going to roll with the punches. Because like I said, bro, look, when the Raptors won the championship, that was pure luck. When the Mavericks won, some people said that was luck. When, you know, there have been teams, and the Detroit Pistons, when they beat Kobe, people said that was luck. So if I'm him, if I'm Steve Ballmer, I sign Kawhi. And I just take my chances. I hope for the luck. I hope for luck and swing for the fences. And whatever happens, happens.
You know, Pride, while you were talking there, you're not a Clippers fan by any chance, right?
Not at all.
Any chance, right? So you're not going to offend it with what I'm going to say, hopefully. You sounded so sad saying all those things. Oh, you know, LeBron's going to retire one day. Oh, the Damian get tired, maybe. Dude, you Clippers fans, if that's how Clippers fans sound, I feel so sorry for them. Like, it's just.
That is how Clippers fans sound.
It's pity.
You're saying that because when a team has.
I feel champions for them.
You feel. They're like the Heat, where they had absolutely no chance in hell. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, not every team is like that. You know what I mean?
When the last Clippers been to a finals? Oh, never. Again, anyways, carry on with your non-relevant points. But, you know, the Clippers are stuck in They're stuck in purgatory because if they like blow it up, if they blow it up, and you know Miami's won championships. I don't know about you. So I don't know if you've seen the last 10 years, but Miami.
Oh, we have way more championships than
anyways, I mean, we've won more championships than the Celtics in the last 10 years. But okay, that's another story. Okay, anyways, again,
we're getting a little off base. Let's stay on topic.
I keep on getting rudely interrupted by these Celtics fans. Jesus, they come like cockroaches.
Yeah, but then when you interrupt me,
anyway, right? So the Clippers are stuck in purgatory, JJ. They're just stuck in their space where it's like, if they were to get rid of Kawhi and Paul George, they're gonna be. If they keep Paul George and Kawhi, I don't think still LeBron James off the face of the earth and Luka Doncic. I mean, Luka Doncic is coming. So what? You just because LeBron retires, and there's gonna be other players that are gonna replace him? KD, dude. The Clippers are in a place where unless the entire league gets qualified, they're not winning a chip. Because Kawhi and Paul George are players where they don't make players around them any better. You're either good when you get there because Kawhi's not going to make you better. Paul George is not going to make you better. Rondo's role to make the team better. And he's not even playing enough minutes in the game to do so. So my thing with the Clippers is Kawhi's like a 92 overall. George is like an 88, 89 overall. And with bad progression, they don't get better throughout the season. They're just who they are. Like, why? I feel like we've seen the best of Kawhi. We're not going to see a better version we've already seen. Paul George, we've already seen the best that we've seen of Paul George. I know they're you know, relatively young in the NBA, but I feel like I've seen the best of both of those players. And the players that they got surround them, Ibaka has already seen better days. Rondo has seen better days. They let go of a few key pieces that actually big parts of success last season. So, if anything, yeah, you got Kawhi and Paul George, but those are just the top two guys. Anybody else on that team, even at 85 overall, if it was 2K, because honestly, the Clippers are in a situation where they lose, they have a chance of losing Kawhi. And it's Kawhi is a LA guy. Kawhi wants to win. So he's going to go to where he has the best chance of winning. I just don't know with the Clippers, guys. The Clippers team, they've been irrelevant. Franchise have started. They never, ever took in that step to maybe even the Mets won a World Series in being in New York, the same town as the Yankees. I've never seen, and nor I feel like I ever will see, the Clippers take the next step to stop being little brother, at least for a few months. At least, even when they're having their struggles, none of us ever said, yeah, yo, the Clippers, man. The Clippers look like they're going to take. Never. And they were healthy, and they were doing the whole load management. It gives off. And not once have we ever said that the Clippers are going to be the one to take over in L.A. And that's just sad. Because you got Kawhi, a proven commodity. You got Paul George, who's supposed to be his number two, but you got games where he's not even a number three or a number four. So the Clippers are going to be stuck where they're at regardless to any move they make. Regardless to whether they move Kawhi, they're going to be ass. And if they don't move Kawhi and keep him, they're not going to be good enough, guys, to win a championship. Because, yeah, LeBron's going to be gone. Luka's there. In the East, Giannis right on the corner. I don't see the Clippers being able to put up a fight against any of those teams for as long as they're around. I'm sorry. Clippers are in purgatory.
Purgatory, that's a good word. You know, if anybody doesn't know, it just means you're at a land still. You're not getting better. You're not getting worse. And pride, I love your soliloquy. You know, they had these four, I think you named four factors, right? Four factors that were like the detriments of their team last year. And they got rid of all of them. And they were supposed to come this fresh new year. And like you said, they look worse. So I'm thinking to myself, what's the common denominator? Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, or George Paul, Leonard Kawhi, however you want to name it. Because honestly, they play like caca. Kawhi George. They really do. You know, I think that anybody who's, you know, a casual NBA fan and even had a little, you know, spirit for the Clippers has to be disappointed in them, you know, because at worst, we at least wanted the series to be competitive, even if they lost. But that doesn't even look like it's going to be the case. So, you know, if I'm Steve Ballmer and Luka Doncic, am I going to take the two owners of the Clippers, like you said, Pride, am I going to take away this Clippers team? I agree with you. No, because at the moment, you just can't get better because the market's not there for you to get better. And if you were to trade a piece, one of those two guys are going to have to be part of that package because, you know, like the other guys that they have aren't just valuable enough. You're going to have to give up Kawhi or Paul George, which at this point, you know, you'll probably give up Paul George for Kawhi. But honestly, I don't like neither guy. You know what I mean? And I think they're both really good players. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're not good players. I just feel like they don't have the mental makeup to like be that guy. I think they're both number two guys. And if they're a one, they're the B. I don't see them as the 1A because, you know, like we talk, you mentioned the championship where Toronto beat Golden State. Let Clay and KD be healthy. We know that's over in five, and that might be being nice. You know, that team was just on an all-time rush, and Kawhi got – not only did he get those two guys out, but let's not forget the luckiest bounce against the Philadelphia 76ers with that dung, 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 dung that sent Joel Embiid crying to the locker room, and it was a hilarious meme, you know. Everybody who's seen it knows it's funny. But, you know, I feel like that – did help Joel Embiid in the process, though, because he came out. He's definitely been a really good player this year. But, you know, a Joel Embiid blocks for another case. But, yeah, I think you're right, Pride. At this moment, there's really not options to get better. So you just got to deal with Kawhi and Paul George at the moment until you have those options.
Hey, you just got to roll with it. That's really it. Because, I mean, the only way possible – like you said, they're going to have to get rid of it. Honestly, I wouldn't get rid of Kawhi. I wouldn't. I would keep Kawhi only because for me, obviously, he's the better player. You said he's not a one. I think he's a one on the court. I think regardless on the court, he's a one on the court. I do agree with you when it comes to leadership.
I'll let you finish. I definitely think Kawhi more than Paul George is a one for sure. I'm not disagreeing with that. I said that they're not ones in here.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. They're all agree with you, yeah, because they're both – well, Paul George is a beta. That's it. He's a beta. Like, the dude was in Indy, and he was out here about to get knocked out by the coach. Larry and old Larry Bird almost put paws on him. Yeah. So this dude, you know what I mean? He obviously – we know he's a beta, right? And Kawhi, to me, Kawhi just doesn't care. I don't get him
being an alpha. You're so right, Pride. And can you guys both imagine what if – Kawhi had Damian Lillard's brain. He'd be
the mindset. Yeah, 100%, bro, because Kawhi don't have that mindset. I think what – I don't want to say ruined it, but when he won with the Spurs and he got the finals MVP, I think that made him think he was legit. And in my mind, I was like – yeah, to me, I was like, that makes no sense for him to be that. I was like, that makes no sense for him to be the finals MVP when, okay, I get it. Parker was older, Ginobili was older, and Tim was older. But you're not going to tell me that he somehow played a better role? I'm like, they were like, oh, yeah, he locked LeBron. I'm like, bro, LeBron was still balling. It gave me vibes. It reminded me of when Iggy won it. They were like, yeah, he older than Chet. And I'm looking at the scoreboard every game, and I'm like, Skip. This man hasn't dropped anything under 30. What you mean he's checking him, bro?
Yeah, he averaged 30 on Iguodala, and he averaged 28 on Kawhi. But the only reason why they gave it to that series was because they won in five. That's the only reason why they won it.
So like, but it wasn't because of Kawhi.
Nah, bro. So yeah, that's kind of what it is. Is like that's why it's kind of bad for younger players to have success because a lot of them don't know how to handle it. They'll have the success and then they'll be like, "All right, I'm done." And then after that, he went up and when he won one in Toronto, in his mind, he was all set. So his thing when he went up to Toronto, he was just like, "Look, I'm just showing I can ball, so one of the LA teams will call me." That's it. Because I spent most of last year injured. I'm balling to show y'all I can ball. So it's tough, like I said, man. Who knows? Maybe something could happen. Again, if I'm the Clippers, I would rather have the best roster I could possibly have right now and go out and just swing, and whatever happens, happens. I would rather be the talk of the town in some capacity, especially considering that they have their own arena now. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, not only do they got their own arena, so they still need people in there to, like, you know, because eventually when things get normal, they're going to need people to go there. So, who let's be real. Are fans going to pile up to see what? Zubac? An old Rondo? I mean, Luke Kennard?
The NBA is about their stars.
Exactly. So, you know, like, are they going to win? I mean, I'll give them like a 20% chance. And that's like a lot of stuff falling their way type of deal. But I don't know, man. Honestly, like the way they're getting swept, it's just there's like you said, JJ, there's the market isn't appealing enough for them to get somebody else. It's not appealing.
And another thing,
for Steve Ballmer, money's not an object. The dude is rich for no reason. He's rich enough to live his life three times in a row and still have money. So, like, you know, like there's no market out there for him to be like, oh, let me get this guy. And again, the guys you need to get need to have the mentality. So you can't just go out there and get, no disrespect to him, but you can't go out and get a Devin Booker because you need a guy whose mentality is going to affect everyone, including your top two guys. You know what I mean? Yep. So you kind of need to get a sizzled vet, but there's no sizzled vet out there that can come in and be like, yo, this is how we're doing it. And if you got an issue with that, let's head back to the locker room and let's see how you're feeling. That's the type of guy they need in their locker room. So it's a tough time to be a Clippers fan. It's a tough time.
Yeah, and the thing of two pride is the fact that the situation where they can't trade for a player, and if they want to sign a player, they got players on their roster currently that need to be signed, especially the big gun, the contracts coming up, Paul George. If this was last season when they had Montrez, when they had Lou Williams, and these guys were having productive years, maybe they could move those pieces to get something instead of just letting them walk. Now they're in a situation where these players that they have on their roster are having kind of career bad years, in the sense of career low averages. Keepers has been abysmal all season. Luke Kennard has been a ghost all season. He'll show up sometimes, but then he'll be gone the rest of the time. If they don't have any consistency at top, they had, you know, Kawhi go off last game for 32 in the first half, and he only scored 8 the rest of the game. So it's like, so I said, Jay, they're in purgatory, bro. They're stuck in purgatory. They're in a lose-lose, no matter what.
Yeah, and I think you made a great point, Pride. You know, you got to sell this with the new stadium coming up, and at least Paul George and Kawhi Leonard could put ass in seats, and that's something you got to at least work on if you're Steve Ballmer, because, you know, it's funny. Steve Ballmer out here really playing real-life 2K. He's like, I'm going to go buy a team, and I'm going to play franchise mode, and I'm going to make it happen. So, damn. I wish I was Steve Ballmer.
Well, I will say this. It kind of does show that the old saying is true. You can't buy a team. Like, it's very, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to buy a team, you do need the culture set. And absolutely. You know what I mean? And that was one of the issues when you got the two stars and you, in essence, bought them to come here. Not only did they change everything, the culture went from we're all working hard to who – we're talking about practice, like, you feel me? They out here bringing the AI out and everybody, like,
yeah. And that's really why I can't stand this Clippers team. Anybody that's followed me long enough to hear me talk Clippers, I just hate how they feel like their talent gives them the right to skip the process, and I'm just not with that. You know,
let Pat tell it.
But yeah, nah, let me transition to another topic that's actually a little more sensitive, because, you know, the playoffs has been great so far. And I know that the NBA is happy to have their fans back in the stadiums. But, you know, these fans have gone a little too far, guys. We've had instances where we had popcorn being thrown at players. We had racial slurs being said. And, you know, and to me, to the most egregious crime that happened, somebody literally try to spit at Trae Young, try to spit at another human being. And anybody that's seen the clip, and I'm going to play it in a second because we do have the clip for our people viewing the show. You know, you see here, look, this poor girl in front of him. A girl that has nothing to do with it. You see her twitch. She over here getting the worst of the spit that's supposed to head towards Trae Young. And to me, Pride, you know, I always thought this, spitting at another person is the most disrespectful thing you could do to anybody. And I would literally have to hate a person to do that. So I can only imagine, like, I don't understand that process happens to an NBA player who doesn't even know your name, that you don't have no personal beef with, but because you're this heckled fan that can sit in second row and you're probably privileged to do it, you think you got the right to spit on a person? That'll roll me, Pride. You know, so right now the big thing that's happening is what can the NBA do to try to make things better? I want to pick your brain a little bit about the whole thing and let me know what you think.
There's nothing the NBA can't do. That's just the fact that we have to deal with. And the reason there's nothing they can do, simple. Because you got fans condoning it. A lot of guys, I'm going to say this right now. When you go to a stadium, right, if you want to boo the guy, that's fine. If you want to say he sucks, that's fine. If you want to heckle, if you want to jeer, that's okay. I'm not going to take that from you. But when you try to spit on a dude, forget the pandemic, right? Like you said, JJ, I've spat on people before. Guess what happens right after?
You fight.
We immediately scrap it. Immediately. Yeah. And I've had straight up hatred for them. And I said, I'll spit on you. They dared me. So I spat on them. And the next thing I did, I picked my pants up. I said, and now what? Okay? When this
that's
dude
the only,
spat,
that's the only about to go. It's the only about to go.
That's the only time I've ever spat. I spat on people twice in my life. And that's because I hated them and I wanted to scrap them. Now, one of them was my stepdad. I couldn't do nothing. So I spit on him on his back, said, tch, and then I ran, right? I was gone because that nigga was big as hell, right? So I wasn't beating nobody, you feel me? So I was like, let me. But the other dude was at a playground, right? Dude, I hated. Couldn't stand him. Spat on him. Bah. He was like, oh, you want to do it again? Pick my pants up, hit him. Dude, it's a wrap, right? What bothers me is that there are some people saying these guys get paid millions of dollars, so they have to deal with it. I'm going now to ask a question. Because I'm on Twitter. I hardly really use my Twitter. I'm always on our Twitter, right? But I went on my Twitter, right? And I asked this, and my comment got banned. That's how many dudes I triggered. I asked, if the NBA made you sign a waiver and said you can spit on a man, you could do whatever you want, you could throw drinks at him, all that stuff. The only rule is after the game, you see this man in the parking lot, and have a one-on-one, and you can't call the cops or nothing. I promise you, these people ain't doing it. I promise you, these people.
They were fans at the game.
Because these dudes, these are the same dudes, the same people who are condoning it, the same people who are doing it, is the same people who, when their supervisor writes them up because they're late, they go to HR. These are the same people who, when they get in trouble and get pulled over, they cry. These are the same people who, if they get an F from their teacher, go to mommy and say, mommy, the teacher doesn't like me. These are the people who condone this and think it's okay. I'm going to tell you something. Russell Westbrook had to be held back by, what was it? I think it was like 6 or 7 grown men. People. I'm going to ask you right now, to the man who threw popcorn at him, do you think you're being Russell Westbrook? Spoiler alert, you're not. Don't lie to yourself. Come on. Come on.
Russell was hurt. Russell was hurt too.
And the thing is, bro, is like when the dude spat on Trae Young, my thing is, bro, that's the same dude who will spit on him and after the game run to get his jersey signed. Then, when he doesn't get his jersey signed, will cry about it, go on Twitter, and say, Trae Young was mean to me. See, this is the problem that we have with fans. The NBA can't do anything. Why? Because then, for every time an idiot is out here doing something stupid, you got 4 or 5 dumb people.
I hear you.
People defending him. Talking about, oh, yeah, you get paid millions of dollars, bro. You're out here getting paid $12 an hour. And if I tell you to flip my burger, you go, you take off your hair and I say, I can't do this. And you storm off to the back for your break. So what are you doing, bro? Like, bro, I'm telling you this right now. People get mad at Ron Artest for the malice in the palace. My thing is, why are we not saying anything to the man who threw a drink at him? Why are we killing Steven Jackson for helping him and jumping into the stands to scrap with him? Why are we not going against the people who then thought it was funny and threw stuff? These are the same guys who will throw stuff, and instead of facing the consequences of their actions, they run. This dude spat, put it on his mask, and was like,
what was me? I had my mask on.
What? Dude, I hit throwing popcorn Russell Westbrook. Man was gone. He thought he had sick. Camera looks up, and you got like 4 or 5 people say, "Ayo, skip, it was him.
It was him.
They were ratting the dude out.
Snitching.
I'm like, come on, bro. You can't do this stuff. And this is the reason, frankly, why when players straight up say, F the fans, I don't have any problem with them saying that. Because I know they're not saying it to me. I know they're not saying it to their fans. They're saying it to the clowns who want to act up. And then I'm telling you this right now. They're going to talk to that dude, the dude who threw the popcorn, Russell Westbrook. And he's going to be like, well, Russ was being mean to me. Russ said very nasty words to me. So I did it to defend myself. Ayo, dummy. You're almost in the skybox. What is Russ going to say to you? You're like, come on, bro. The only time he was near you is when he was leaving because he's injured. A 30% Russell Westbrook would knock you clean off the face of the planet. Make you contemplate retirement from life. Forget your job. Retirement from life. And dudes are thinking that is sweet. There's nothing the NBA can do. There's nothing. I'm going to tell you right now. Adam Silver is going to have to straight up say, if y'all want to do that, no problems. Sign waivers, and you're going to have to fight this man afterwards. That's the only way. That's the only way this will be fixed.
We're gonna make a deal with Dana White. We're gonna get an octagon.
From now on, we're gonna call it a double header, right? So the double header, you feel me? Is these dudes playing basketball? The instant someone throws something, we got Dana White on speed dial. Hey yo, sell it, bro. You got 45 minutes, sell it. And Dana gonna be like, hey yo, part two of the double header. We gonna see Joe Schmo facing up against Giannis Antetokounmpo. Where your bets at? Like, come on, Skip.
Imagine trying to fight Giannis.
That's the thing, bro. Like, and it's a shame because we're getting to the point where eventually these dudes gonna boycott. These dudes are gonna boycott, and then what are we gonna do with our sports next? So now 90% of people who respect them and disagree with them, sure. Like I said, if you want to heckle, if you want to make jokes, that's fine. But don't sit there and try to disrespect the dude talking about spitting and throwing popcorn. Because I'm going to tell you something, bro. If you throw in spit or if you throw in popcorns, guess what? My man going to throw a fist right back. And I'll dare you to see which one going to hurt more. Because I'm telling you, that fist going to hurt more. And after that, when you out here crying, talking about, I'm going to give an unpopular opinion on the NBA, but I believe this needs to be said.
We'll wait for you, Dark Sage. Go ahead, Pride.
Yeah, we'll wait. But, you know,
I'll put this comment when it comes up.
Yeah, bro. To me, it's like the NBA can't do it can't do much because when they try to do something, those people are going to have people supporting them and saying, oh, poor him. You know, and to me, it's a joke. Frankly, bro, like I said, bro, let him scrap. Let him scrap. It's going to take one time. Once you see that one fight, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, bro, I'm killing him. I'm chilling. So, unfortunately, NBA can't do nothing, bro.
I hear you 100%, bro. 100% Pride, and I respect everything you said right there, bro. But I feel like there's a few steps that they can take that can have fans second guessing and at least thinking before they actually do some nonsense. In the steps of there seems to be a stigma surrounding smaller and market NBA teams are drawing ratings and fans and Jazz fans that want my team to go far. I'm not interested in the grand product of the NBA.
I see what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you. Where I kind of tend to veer off is that OKC was a small market team, and OKC the NBA didn't destroy OKC. OKC destroyed themselves. You can make a case that Memphis is a small market team. And when they had their whole grit and grind era, the NBA was pushing that. And now that they got John Morant, they're still pushing that. The Pelicans are a small market team. But now that they actually have young stars, now they're trying to push. So I do get your point about feeling like the NBA doesn't want to push them. But at the same time, I'm going to rebut with not only do we have teams who are small market and have had success, but to the Jazz, I've said before, they're the second most overrated number one seed in the history of the NBA. For me, it's the Hawks, them, and then my Celtics when we had Isaiah Thomas, when we almost lost in the first round of the Bulls. Those are the top three. So to me, it's like I understand your point, but at the same time, your team isn't an overwhelming force to be straight up dominant. So that's kind of my
opinion. And for you small market teams that want success, take a page out of the San Antonio Spurs book. And stop looking around. Obviously, they have the blueprint for a small market team within the draft, looking at going extra steps like Pop and this organization does, going out in Europe, going around the world and finding the talent. Because guess what? Small market teams are always gonna land the big fish. Sometimes the smart market teams they're gonna have to go out there and go fishing themselves for it. So that's what I say to you, small market teams. They could do it. They can do it. We've seen this do it for as long as I've been alive. So that big market thing shouldn't be a factor. especially for the NBA, a league where two or three players could take your team to a championship level. So, Pride, as I was saying, what the NBA can do to try and better the situation is, guess what? You're going to have your rabid fans. You're going to have your fans that be like, you know, stick up to Russell Westbrook. We're going to have that. I get that. But what would entice these fans to not do stupid shit, like throw popcorn at players and spit on a freaking fan right during a pit? I know we're at the end of it almost, but I don't care, man. COVID is still out there, and you're using your saliva. Honestly, what the NBA should do, for those two fans or any fans that do some nonsense again, ban them for life. Show these fans that you don't get chances when you step into the ring. Well, yeah, they banned the fan for life, and the fan that threw the popcorn to Russell Westbrook, they took his season tickets away. So banned for life, but they took his season. Okay. He won't be able to play.
I'll let you finish, Sander, because I want you to finish your point. I think you're doing great, but I do think that both those instances that aren't banned currently will eventually develop into bans, I believe.
For sure. And it should. And honestly, you want to stop this? I'm sorry. Be petty, NBA. Be petty. You got a $1 billion league. You guys have great lawyers. Be petty. Take these guys to court. Charge them for the most minuscule thing. Guess what? It will be like, damn, if I throw something like this, they're going to be court like they did the last guy. If I say something racial, they might kick me out and ban me for life. I understand the heckling, the jeering. I get that. When we go to games, everybody's done it, you know? But it's to a certain level of respect as a human being that you should have for yourself, because you're all you do in the public eye is just a representation of yourself. So people that do stupid shit like that, that just shows what type of person they are in real life. And those two guys, it just goes to show you, the guy that did the popcorn and tried to go back to his seat like he was going to get caught, dude, what you was going to happen? Ban them for life. Find them. Take them to court. The dude that tried to spit on Trae Young, guess what? When he spit, yeah, you saw 50's girl fit. Want to know why? Because some of us got hurt. She was wearing a tank top. She felt that. That's disgusting. Take the extra step that you need to take, NBA. Make sure these fans understand that it's not really. I can't do whatever the hell I want just because he paid. Let me tell you, those seats that he paid for, Pride, let me tell you, that kid in New York, that's expensive as hell. I hide out that he's making $14 for affording those tickets. But nonetheless, I hear you 100%. But nonetheless, bro, just because you pay that type amount of money for a ticket doesn't mean that you leave society and you're in a world where there's no rules. You still have to act like a civil person. You still have rules and have some decency as a being. Spitting on a player who doesn't even know you, throwing popcorn. You're lucky Russell Westbrook wasn't in that hallway by himself and had to be restrained by like what, 6-7, because he was hurt walking to the hallway. And he went 0-100 like that.
Bro, he went from injury to 100% in like the blink of an eye. And then he started running. He didn't know who it was. So I feel like if no one was with him, oh, he punching man, woman, and child.
And when Russell Westbrook and the post says things like, you know, he would dare, he knows he would never dare to do something like that if we were on the street, because he know what would happen. And we all know what would happen, bro. So these fans, the NBA should be petty, take these MFs to court, throw the book at them. Even if it's a little fine, guess what? You did what you do, and both fans will think do the same thing again.
Yeah. Let me just say something real fast. To you saying that they got to get involved, the NBA in and of itself, I don't know if they can for the Trae Young thing, since it wasn't on him. But if I'm 50, I'm pressing charges. And, you know, I'm not looking for jail time. You know what I'm looking for? Probation. You want to know why? Because the dude going to try to fight it. And I want him to pay so much that the dude will never be able to afford another ticket again in his life. 110%, bro. You want
be petty.
110%. Yeah. Hopefully that works. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, you guys both made great valid points, and I'm not even going to try to, you know, add to that because you guys both did great, but I do got 2 points, and they're both 2 points on the players that were involved. One, Russ, I'm with you. I love that energy because I would have been the same way. I would have gotten to the dude, though, probably. I don't know. He has 6 guys, man. I just – that guy had no chance. And when it comes to Trae Young, Trae, you're a bigger man than I am because I would have definitely pressed charges because ain't nobody spitting on me like that and getting away with it, especially in the public eye, man. So, you know, God bless your heart, Trae Young. You're a bigger man than me. But, you know, it is Friday, and we do got to get to our blazing predictions presented by Rocky Hill Accountants. With over 35 years of combined experience, make sure that you guys visit experienced professionals that will handle your finances and leave them lovely, because it's always better to know, have somebody that knows what they're doing, doing what you don't know how to do. But I'm very excited because I got a feeling like today's spicy predictions are going to get a little spicy. I call them spicy predictions, blazing predictions, Cajun, whatever you want to call it. They're always spicy. But I'm going to start it with you, Pry. What you got for me, Poppy?
This right here is specific for you. Honestly, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care if I win. I don't care if I lose. I'm good. I'm just here to honestly piss you off in two ways. I honestly think the greatest.
I promise you, everybody, we're good friends.
Is going to destroy Luka. You feel me? He going to put a whooping on him. He going to make this 22-year-old run home with his mommy. Clippers winning. I'm telling you right now. Clippers are winning, okay. And you know what will happen afterwards? Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they're going to look in the lens, not say a word. They're going to walk off the court. And that's for you, JJ. That's for you. They go with their eyes. They're going to be saying, respect us. And if they lose, I'm not really a fan of them. They're gonna go down 0-3. So it's a win-win for me. I'm good. Or I win and then you mad. Because I'm telling you right now, bro. I told you before the show. If we win, if they win, I'm saying we now. I'm watching the game. And I'm cheering for the Clippers. I'm my bike. When we win, bro, Monday, I'm coming in my worst behavior, bro. I'm playing it. I'm playing
it. You're wearing Maverick colors and you talking about the Clippers going to win, bro.
It don't matter. Guess what? You see this? This is camo. You feel me? And you ready? You want to know why I wore camo? Because the Clippers, guess what? Oh, I'm not the Clippers. I'm sorry. The Mavericks, guess what? They can't see a dub because the Clippers are winning, bro. And after that, they're going to keep winning, and they're going to end up slapping this dude. What is he, Slovenian? Whatever he is.
Yeah.
Whatever he is. Him and Kristaps going to leave the country. That's how bad he going to win. Remember when Pop traded Kawhi out of the country? Yo, Kawhi gonna return the favor, and he gonna knock these two dudes out the country, and you gonna be sad, and I'm gonna love it. Go ahead, like.
You disrespectful, bro. But yo, since you know all NBA show today, I'm gonna keep it in the NBA, baby. I'm gonna keep my prediction in the NBA, and I got them boys from ATL. They play this weekend twice, and I got them winning. Not one game, but I got them winning 2 games. I got them beating the New York Knicks both games in Atlanta. I got the power of all the South rappers. I got Gucci, 2 Chainz, Lil Wayne, if you want to throw him in there because he's from the South too. All the powers combined into one, and they're going to give it to Trae Young, and Trae's going to smack the New York Bugs and the New York Pigeons back to Manhattan and go to New York. Up 3-1 and finish the series.
I'm gonna disagree because I think it's gonna go back 2-2. I think they're splitting, to be honest. I think they splitting, and then whatever happens. By the way, I just want to correct myself. For some unknown reason, I said I got the Knicks. After the show, I had an epiphany. I'm a Celtic. What am I doing cheering for New York? What is wrong with me? So I just want to rescind it. JJ gave me the permission to rescind it. So I'm going to rescind it. I'm going to apologize to him. And I also have to apologize to myself and to the state of Boston. I'm sorry, Massachusetts. Because for some unknown reason, my stupid self betrayed who I am at heart. But don't worry. I'm going to redeem myself one day. You feel me? So I just want to throw that out there. Go ahead, JJ.
It's all right. Let the Red Sox get on a little win streak. You're going to make them proud.
I'm coming back to sleep, but no sleeves. No sleep. Put me one streak together. Watch what happens. I'm at crazy.
You gotta bring this hoodie back, baby, for real.
Yeah, I'm big fan.
You make it look better than Belichick. I don't care what nobody says. But bro, you know, Pride. Pride. Our picks actually, our predictions coincide with each other because you got the Clippers being the Mavericks. But I predicted that when we come here on Monday, The Mavericks are just going to be waiting for whoever's who's going to be left, because I think they're going to beat them. They're going to sweep the Clippers. They're going to be like, we're going to send you back to L.A. Go back to the basement. Go set up the new stadium, because you know you're not going to be using Staples Center no more. That's the Lakers officially now. We're going to send y'all somewhere else. I got Luka Doncic being the bad boy that he is, and they're going to win both these games, Pride. And I think Monday I'm going to come in here, and you know I might have a diabetic attack because I might be eating too many Skittles. You know what I mean?
I'm not a Clippers fan, bro. I just did it to get you tight. But I'll be honest with you. If they sweep, I said I'm coming on my worst behavior. Guess what? Monday, I'm going to have no behavior because I'm sick. Have Joe for the because I don't want to hear it, bro. If they somehow sweep, bro, yo, then you go every single topic. We're going to have a Kawhi topic, and then in between a Luka Doncic topic and then a Paul George topic. That's going to be the show.
Look, if the Mavs sweep, the Clippers, King Joffy's coming for JJ's head for sure.
Nah, bro. No way.
King Joffy, Martellus Bennett. I don't care what Clipper fan want to come see me. I got Luka on my side, and he owns half your team, so I ain't care. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport 1 and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Also, make sure you guys check out our awesome website at clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And check us out on Spotify on your morning commute. Make sure you guys just search up CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be right there. You'll check out our awesome logo. It's very unique. Can't miss it. But nonetheless, guys, I'm excited for some NBA more playoff weekend because it's the best time of the year for me when it comes to basketball. And even though, you know, we thought that some of these lower seed matchups were going to be boring, they actually turned out to be not too bad.
Yeah, they've been great games.
Yeah.
I hope John Morant freaking misses his flight.
Oh man, if Ja comes through for me on Monday, I might buy a Ja Morant wig. I don't know.
Is it the game in Memphis? How are you gonna miss his flight if the game is in Memphis?
Misses Uber.
He might miss the Uber.
Pull a Shohei Ohtani because my man got stuck in traffic. He had to get stressed from his start. So I hope that happens to this dude. I hope it happens to him.
You hear that, Ja Morant? Give me 40 points in the dub, boy. Do it for me. I'm your boy, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Riley Pride, Sandra Sanchez Light. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Attention all basketball fans. CMG Sports presents the Posting Up Podcast, where Lucas Bolduc, Sean Scanlon, and King Zay discuss the latest news and topics throughout the NBA. So, if you have a love for basketball, make sure you check out the Posting Up Podcast, live every Tuesday and Saturday on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Also available for download on every podcast platform. The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradberry, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Which?